Third.
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let us pray together. I can remember during the New York World's Fair of waiting online and then getting into some kind of seat conveyance and passing through a room in which, under special lighting, was the Pietà of Michelangelo, and how thousands and thousands of people during that World's Fair viewed that magnificent piece of art, the sculpture of the slain body of the Lord Jesus draped over his mother's lap. And to think about it and to realize that here was a man who could look at a block of marble and see something that you and I couldn't see, and then had the skill of hand and eye and mind to make such a beautiful creation. When the song of praise was here from Wesleyan Seminary, their concluding number was Beethoven's Hallelujah from the Mount of Olives. And that was something. When we were up at Camp of the Woods, one of the concerts performed that number again. And I thought about Beethoven. How could a man hear such beautiful sounds and put together such beautiful words in praise to God? And that piece of music never fails to move me emotionally and spiritually. It's a man's work. On my trip to Colorado this year, I visited in the home of my wife's niece in Ohio. And there in her husband's den was a picture. And I found out from her that I could get a copy. And I just had to have it. And it came before I left on vacation, and I just wanted to show it to you. If you can't see it so good, you can come up and look at it later. I'll leave it on the chair. But here's by a Dutch Christian, 1590 to 1656. Christ before the high priest, and he is Jesus, with his hands bound with ropes. And there sits the high priest with, I presume, the scriptures open to him. And at the hands of that painter, as I looked at it, an awful lot of messages came rushing in on me about how a person can be tied in with the Word of God and miss the living Christ. And that poor high priest stood there in front of the living God and couldn't see him. I want to have that framed and placed in my study so that I can always remember that. That as I pore over these pages, that I never miss the message of the living Christ and his power and his grace. I want that always to be a memory. And I praise God for the craftsmanship and the skill and the artistic ability of that man a couple of hundred years ago, who pored over the pages of the scripture and saw something and put it on a canvas for me to enjoy. I hardly ever go across the Verrazano Bridge, having watched part of it go up when I was ministering on Staten Island, without thinking that some man had to plan and draw every little piece of that bridge, all of the rivets, everything. I can't help but be awestruck with that piece of work. We could go on and on You have your favorites. I have my favorites, whether they be art, sculpture, music, mechanical. We live in a wonderful world where men, even when you go to some of the museums and see what people have done centuries ago, and you say, my, they were so much brighter than I am. And they had such little things to work with, and yet they did such magnificent things. And we rejoice in the works of man. And the Word of God says, we are His workmanship. We are God's workmanship. Can you imagine what that is? Can you allow the Holy Spirit to take your mind and your heart today and show you what that is? If we enjoy the music and the art and the mechanics and the science, the work of man, can there be any greater statement about every one of us here today than to say, for we are God's workmanship? Now, we know that, and I'm not going to get into the evolutionary situation, theory, all of that. I don't believe it. It's plain and clear in my mind. I don't believe it. And I'm increasingly glad as I see that there are more scientists that don't believe it. And not only Christian scientists, but scientists without a Christian commitment are having problem with it. I believe that I am God's workmanship in a physical sense. It never seemed to make sense to me how the most perfect thing, the most amazing thing in the creation of the world, man, the pinnacle of the universe here, even though he's a mess in many situations and he's unjust and he's a sinner, but still in all, he's the peak of the creation, the peak of our universe as we know it. And to say that he was made by, he came about by a series of mutations, which are mistakes. It just didn't seem to go. I don't know, I have maybe a simple mind that don't understand some of the complexities, but I didn't understand that. Now we know that man is a fantastic piece of work. Fantastic. In his physical sense. With the advent of the computer, to realize how many nerve connections there are and how large a computer this little skull holds. Maybe this summer you had an encounter with a mosquito or two. To realize how complex it is for your mind to be able to locate the exact spot where that mosquito is sapping away your blood. Or maybe hearing it, being deep in sleep and hearing that bzzz. It's fantastic. And I know that about myself, that this body that God gave to me is a fantastic piece of work. But that's not what Paul is talking about. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about something that goes way beyond that. He's talking about we being the workmanship of God beyond the time when these bodies are going to lay in a grave and rot away. He's talking about His workmanship in our lives, in our character, in our being. Have you ever been conscious? Have you ever been conscious of your being the workmanship of God? I can remember as a little kid looking at my hand and being conscious that I was a living being, and there was something awesome about that. You know, what is it? You know. But beyond that, since you committed your life to Jesus Christ and became a Christian, have you been conscious that you are God's workmanship? Have you been pressed into a situation to realize that you are God's workmanship? The speaker last week at Camp of the Woods was Professor Johnston from Trinity Seminary, the seminary that Bob Umidi is going to be attending this year. And he told about his brother. He was a big, strong man who played fullback for Wheaton College during his college days. Talked about his brother who went to the University of Minnesota. With a name like Johnson, where else would you go, I guess? He was a tennis athlete, played a number of sports, was in the Army, in his upper bunk one day, and the serviceman in the lower bunk was cleaning his carbine. And I didn't realize that it had a shell in it. Tore through his shoulder, right shoulder. As that blood was spurting out of his shoulder, and as he was losing consciousness, this man's brother says he was conscious that God was saying, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." That's rather dramatic. I would entertain before you today that there is opportunities every day for you to be conscious that you're God's workmanship. You know, when you're pressed into that impossible personal situation where maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your relatives, maybe it's your in-laws, maybe it's your next door neighbor, maybe it's the guy on the job that just presses you to the nth degree, and you find yourself saying, well, how much can a human being cope with? At that point, you can be conscious that you're God's workmanship. When he presses you into situations like that, are you conscious? When there are tragedies, you know, there are simple things about your life. God has a plan for you. That's what this is saying. God has a plan. He's got a plan for every life. And everything that happens to us becomes recognized as a foreseen contribution to the development of that plan. And that young serviceman, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in his life, began to realize that that bullet that just tore through his shoulder, it was a year just getting to learn how to use his arm again. Imagine that for an athlete. A year. And yet that man today can say, God meant it for good for me. I am his workmanship. It's a fantastic thing to know this. The beauty of it. I think that if you look around, you say, God's work is beautiful. God's work is beautiful. Man has made it ugly. God's work is beautiful. How often do you look at the fact that God has a plan for your life with drudgery and with the fear? Maybe you're a young person that likes to look cool, and you say, oh, you know, if I submit to what the pastor is saying, I'm going to be one of those fuddy-duddy old missionaries with their out-of-style clothing. And yet most of the missionaries I see dress in style, that I've seen anyway. There are a few that don't care, but there are a few people around living normal lives that don't care either. You don't have to be a missionary to not care about how you look. Do you look at that with drudgery? No, there's a beauty about it. Do you look at it as another commitment? Are you conscious of what God's planned for you? He's created you for good works, and he's prepared the good works for you to do. There's a beauty about it. And if we can sit back in awesomeness at the work of man, couldn't you trust the God who created this whole universe to do a beautiful job in your life? There's an order also about it. Everything God does has an order about it. It's kind of interesting to research that and experience it. But there's an order to it. Does this look familiar? How many have a real big guilt complex about that, that I just raised in your mind and heart as I put this survey for service out in front of your eyes this morning? You know, we're trying to get that filled in because there are a lot of jobs to do. What is the purpose of a church? One of the purposes of the church is to bring Christian people together so that they can have meaningful Christian service. Doesn't mean you have to have it here. But you do have some sort of responsibility to see that everything runs smoothly and that people aren't overloaded. You know, we found out that some people didn't fill out this sheet. Because, you know, how many items are there on there? And then you have the possibility of 5 responses to each item. And I was told that people feel bad because they read this and they say, boy, you know, I really should be involved in that and that and that. And they get to thinking, boy, you know, I can't put down everything. And then because, one of the ways you can respond is with an X. If you have no interest, place an X in that spot. I say, how could I admit that I have no interest in Sunday school? You know, I couldn't do that. But don't you believe that there's an order to God's work in your life? That there are probably, you know, you'd find me in a mental hospital today if I felt that I had to be committed and active and participating in everything that's on that sheet. And I'm the pastor. I'd be in a mental hospital mumbling to myself because it's impossible. There's an order to what God wants to do in your life. You know, I've met some people and I don't like to be around them. Some people would look at me and say, oh boy, if we could only get them to be members. Let me describe this person. They're involved in everything. Boy, if we could only get them in our church, they'd do everything. I don't like to be around people like that. One, they don't have time for an awful lot of things that are very important. And two, God never meant for somebody to be in everything. If you were in Sunday school this morning and looked at the film on, watched the film on Sunday school teaching and the Sunday school and its ministry, you'd have heard them say that Sunday school is so important that it would be great, I can't remember the exact words, but it would be great if the Sunday school teachers would consider that their sole responsibility in the church. Now that's a luxury, and I hope that someday we get to that point. But just think, wouldn't it be super to have a class and that's all you had to do? You had to take care of your family. You had to be a participant in the worship service. But your one area of service was teaching that class. And so that everything you did during the week and everything you read and everything you thought about, you were drilling in on, boy, how am I going to get to those kids on Sunday? That's when God's work becomes exciting. I'm sure John would like to have the luxury, or as we call him now, Jonathan, to keep him separate from John Cuthbert. I'm sure that Jonathan would like the luxury of having a choir up here this fall that did nothing as far as service but sing God's praises. And he could come out into the rehearsal and say, now folks, we're going to memorize this piece so that we really communicate what we want to say to the congregation and praise the God today. Wouldn't that be something? There's an order to it. And because there's that order, you can't have anybody sitting around saying, oh, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do it. Doesn't work. God has a plan for your life. He wants to accomplish something great and beautiful and orderly in it. There's a purpose to it. Contrast the ending of this section, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, with the beginning. And there you see the transformation I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was bound for hell, but now I'm saved and have a purpose, and I'm bound for glory. You can see it in this section because it takes you from the old to the new, from the self to the Christ-saturated, controlled life. Now, who would say, I want to go back to the old way? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following the desires, its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That's the old. Now, as you sit in a worship service in the very presence of God this morning, which part of this section describes your life? Is it more like the first part, where you live gratifying the cravings of your sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts? Or is it more true, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works? Which is true of yours, of your life? Which would you want to be true? Do you want to be running around trying to fill something that'll never be satisfied? Do you want to be part of God's eternal plan and work? The word workmanship is a word that, they tell me, can be translated poems. In fact, if you looked at the Greek, it's even spelled that way, with an added letter, poema. It's interesting, isn't it? We talked about the great works of man today. We like to have an original. I would rather have that painting as an original than printed on a piece of cardboard. We get kind of tired of the mass-produced things. And so a lot of people say, I like something different, something that has some craftsmanship. And so they go out and buy an antique. And they say, I know this won't go out of style. This is beautiful. It's different. Nobody else has anything like this in their home. This is what God is saying about you. Now, the Greek word isn't exactly like our word poems, because it has the meaning that it's a piece of work which is perfect. And each one of us is a distinct and perfect work of God. Can you grasp that today? Can you incorporate it into your life? Can you act on that? I think Romans 12 says something to us as we come to the communion table today. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. He's been talking about it for 11 chapters. And now in the 12th, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's what we have to do today. We can't just come to this communion service in a passive way. Say, oh, it's first Sunday of the month again. The deacons will be up there serving communion. And we'll have quiet time and things like that. No. Today, in the light of the fact that God's word says we are his workmanship, in the light of all of his mercy, we present ourselves to him. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world. That's what Ephesians 2:1 in the first part of that paragraph says. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How beautiful it is. For we are His workmanship. Now I would say that, not drawing attention to you as a person, but I would say that after you've been walking with the Lord Jesus in the light of His Word for 20, 30 years, that people should be just as delighted with you as we are with any of these masterpieces of men's work, because you're God's work. And that should be the drive of your life, to allow Him to work. I was sitting there in chapel, and I don't think it had anything to do with what was being said at the time. And this thought flashed through me of how simple it is. God just asks us to be at His disposal. How many of you have thought that you have to do it? God says, just let me work in your life. Have you ever said, Lord, whatever the circumstances this week, whatever the challenges, I just want you to press me the way you want me, to chip away what you don't want, to put me in the circumstances that'll just allow me to be a piece of your workmanship. I know Christians that every time I'm around them, they're a magnificent piece of work of God. And one of the reasons that makes my ministry so enjoyable in this place is the fact that I see that happening over and over and over again. I don't have to go to the mission field to look for a person like that. I find them right in the congregation here. I hope you find them in your pastor. Won't you start as you come to this table by saying, okay, Lord, I'll fill out that piece of paper. I'll take a half hour to think about it and pray over it. You might check some things in here that we have enough people in right now. And we'll just put you on file and maybe come to you a year from now or something like that and say, hey, would you be willing to take up this? For we are His workmanship. We're God's workmanship. Let's pray.